Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
The Weekend Warrior, every Saturday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m.
on ESPN LA 710.
Dedicated to you, the fan who works hard all week and slugs it out on the court, the field, the big box store, and the honey-do list all weekend long. And helping you cope as you come to the realization you're not 19 any longer. Here's board-certified orthopedic surgeon Dr. Robert Clapper.
Good morning, Los Angeles, and welcome to another edition of the Weekend Warrior Show. I'm your host, Dr. Robert Clapper. I'm an orthopedic surgeon at Cedars-Sinai for 31 years. I'm so excited for today's show. My guest is an expert in pediatric orthopedics, an orthopedic surgeon for children. And it's important for you to realize, in every facet of life, kids are not just young adults. They're immature mentally, physically, and in how their bones are growing. Injuries to the skeleton, while it's still growing, while the bone is still with growth plates, is a specialty unto itself. We treat them differently. We worry about things differently. If you tell an adult, you rolled your ankle, you sprained your ankle, it's because the ligament is weaker than the bone. It can happen. You get a sprained ankle in an adult. But if you're still growing, the growth plate in the bone is weaker than the ligament. So if you ever are told that your kid has sprained any joint, I need you to be on the lookout. That diagnosis may not be correct. You better make sure they haven't had an injury to their growth plate, which, by the way, does not show up on the x-ray. So it's a whole specialty, and Dr. Natasha Trentacosta is going to be calling in at 8:15, and I really look forward to talking to her about the uniqueness of why kids are not young adults, certainly in the field of medicine. But it made me think all week, since I love the world of art, I love the world of sports, and I love the world of surgery, and to me, they're the same. So where is the connection? Where do we see in the world of art, sports, and surgery, kids being treated as adults, where a lot can go wrong and a lot can go right? So there are two examples in art and in music. One, Stevie Wonder. He used to be called Little Stevie Wonder because as a teenager, he was already making records, and Stevie Wonder still is one of the most popular singer-songwriters of all time, a true success story. But there's an example that predates Stevie Wonder and Michael Jackson with the Jackson 5, the stem cell, if you will, and his name was Frankie Lyman, and his band was called Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers. And in 1956, they had the number one hit in America. Frankie Lyman was only 13 years old. You know what, Rebecca? Let's play Why Do Fools Fall in Love. This is the song that in 1956 was the number one record in America. Singing this is Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers. Listen to this song. It's a catchy beat, but it's this young showman, right front and center with a giant T on his t-shirt sweater, because it was the Teenagers. Well, Frankie Lyman died at age 25. Terrible. You're going to hear some more of his hits during the show. But they were the stem cells that started it all. But it was too much, too quick. And a heroin overdose did Frankie Lyman in. Because he's still a kid. He ain't an adult. He didn't have the blessings of Stevie Wonder. And in sports, my favorite teenager who took over the world, who did it right, is LeBron James. But you're going to hear interviews of LeBron James when he's only 16 years old about what he's going to do with his life and how he's going to play basketball and how he's going to set things up. What you'll hear is the reason for his success. Yes, he's a kid, but he very importantly had a mom behind the scenes making sure he was making a lot of the right decisions. That guidance is necessary in art, in sports, and in surgery. And we're going to get into it today. That's today's topic. The whole idea that kids are not young adults. LeBron James, Frankie Lyman. And in surgery, my guest, Dr. Trent DaCosta, is going to explain to us the unique difficulties of treating kids because you have to worry about that skeleton that's still growing. What about clapper vision? Well, one of my favorite pediatric injuries that I've taken care of so many times over the years is a knee injury in kids where the blood supply to the bone has caused damage where the bone has died. And in the knee, it's a fancy word, it's called osteochondritis dissecans. And literally you can see it on the x-ray, but a kid presents to your office with a big swollen knee. You look at the x-ray and you see literally where a piece of the bone is missing. And it comes from a circulation issue. Here's the clapper vision. Our bone is like Lake Tahoe. Lake Tahoe, one of the most beautiful lakes in California, is a big, beautiful lake because it's fed by multiple streams. So if a beaver builds a dam on one of those streams and blocks that flow into the lake, there's 20 other streams that are feeding the lake. Lake Tahoe doesn't dry up. But Toluca Lake, which is a man-made lake, literally has a pipe with a valve. You shut the valve off, the lake dries up because it's a man-made lake with literally a pipe. Well, if you have bone, like your kneecap, it's like Lake Tahoe. You have multiple streams, multiple blood vessels that feed that bone. So if you fracture or injure one of the blood vessels, the rest of the blood vessels can make up for it and your kneecap stays alive. But there are certain patients where there's only a single blood vessel to a certain part of the bone. And if you injure that, jumping off the monkey bars, jumping off the seesaw, whatever it is that a kid would do, and you block that blood supply, that bone will die because it's like Toluca Lake, not Lake Tahoe. So there's a clapper vision for you. All right, let's get into today's show. Rebecca, let's listen to the story of Frankie Lyman. This is from 1956. Listen to his bubbling enthusiasm. He's taken over the world with a number one hit, Why Do Fools Call and Fall in Love, which he co-wrote with Herman Santiago. But let's go through 1 through 6, their first TV appearance, Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers.
But now we come to a mood that is the product of our present generation. The bubbling enthusiasm of our teenagers was the inspiration for what is now the most popular style of music in the country, the rock and roll. A few short weeks ago, 5 teenage boys went into a recording studio, and they said they had a song they wanted to sing. Well, it took a little time, 3 weeks to be exact, but they were heard, and their song was recorded. It is now the number one record in America. Well, the song is Why Do Fools Fall in Love? They call themselves the Teenagers. You guys are the Teenagers.
That's right, Mr. Lane.
Come on, boys. Let's sing our song now.
That's a lot of you?
Yes, sir. Can we sing now?
What's your name?
I have to make my money before my voice changes.
Good news for you, Dad. It ain't going to go much lower. You're in a barrel now. Frankie, you amaze me. Tell me something. You're only 13 years old, and yet you wrote this big hit. How did it ever happen?
Well, Mr. Lane, one day I was dressing, and an inspiration came to me, so I wrote the song.
Oh. Well, what was the inspiration?
I needed a new suit.
Well, that's a pretty good reason. But I can't understand how you could write Why do fools fall in love? What does a 13-year-old boy know about love?
Well, Mr. Lane, I've been falling in love since I was only 5.
5?
But I've been a fool about it since I was 11.
Well, don't complain, lad. You've only had 2 rough years. I think we've had enough of this little chit-chat. This is your first nationwide television appearance, isn't it?
1956.
And I know that everybody's waiting to hear you sing, so are you ready to rock and roll it?
That's right.
That means I ought to get lost, huh?
About it.
Why do fools fall in love?
He is so dynamic. He had the world, in the palm of his hand. Rebecca, let's go to sound bites 2 through 4 from Frankie Lyman, The Teenagers. This is with Alan Freed. But here also you're going to hear from Richard Barrett, the record producer, about how impressed he was meeting Frankie Lyman, but also how they took advantage of him. 2 through 4.
To see him so tiny on a stage, bursting with so much talent, was something that was really spectacular. I'm so glad you wanted me to. He was just a natural-born talent. He was born for the stage, and it only lasted a short time, which I guess it will plague me the rest of my life.
We all grew up in New York City in the early 50s. We all hung out together. We went to school together, and we sang together. At that time, singing on the street corners was the thing to do. It was a way to get noticed, and one day we did.
There would be a time in his later years when he would have been able to understand what he was doing and what his worth was, but nobody was going to stop and tell him then. They were too busy taking his money from him. Mm. Who's going to tell you what you're worth if they're putting it in their own pockets? You follow me? This is the story of Frankie and the group.
That's record producer Richard Barrett talking about he's a teenager, he's a 13-year-old. He's getting taken advantage of. This is the problem. You cannot treat the skeleton that's still growing the same way. You need guidance. You need someone smart to know what to do and respect the growth plates. It's just different. What about in sports? Here's an example, LeBron James, where he has the correct guidance because he has his mom. Let's listen to 16-year-old LeBron James pre-junior year. He's still in high school, but get ready for you to hear his mom, Gloria James, talking about, listen, this is all happening faster than we expected, and he's going to stay in high school. There were rumors that he was going to leave high school and go into the NBA, but you needed to have someone behind the scenes recognizing he's just a kid. Let's listen to 1 through 3.
James enters his last 2 years of high school as the top prospect in the nation.
I don't want nobody to pass me. I mean, they say I'm the best player in the country, and I wanted to keep it that way for the next 2 years.
I always knew he was going to be good. I got to admit, never knew it was going to get this big, though.
James spent the summer showcasing his talents at various camps throughout the United States, but attracted nationwide attention for his dominating performance in mid-July at the ABCD camp in New Jersey.
I just wanted to play my game. My game is I can score, but I can pass too, and I can rebound. I can do so many things that can help my team win, and that's what I did.
It was also during that camp that stories began to surface about James hoping to become the first to leave high school early and turn pro. But as he prepares to enter his junior season here at St. Vincent St. Mary, he and his mother decided to set the record straight.
To squash it all, he's going to finish high school. Everything is coming fast enough. There's no need to rush it.
I never considered that. You know, it wasn't even a thought. You know, you really can't even do that. I don't want to go through that. I want to graduate with my class. I got three best friends, Drew, Willie, and Shion. And high school you can't come back to. And you know, prom you can't come back to. I talked to Tracy McGrady when I was in New Jersey, and he just told me a lot of things that just inspired me. Like, when you get out on the court, you got no friends. And you know, when I get out on the court, you know, sometimes I underestimate who I'm playing against because they might be on the same level as me. But he told me that it don't matter who you're playing, you just gotta kill them. And you know, that's what I'm coming into the year next year with. And you know, whoever we play, I'm coming out to get them.
So LeBron James had his mom, and he had Tracy McGrady telling him, you get on the court, you have no friends. You're just a 16-year-old kid. Stay in high school. Let's listen to two other comments of LeBron James just as a teenager, but you can appreciate how much his mom is helping him make these decisions, and his mom recognizing he is just a kid. He's not a young adult. Let's go to 16-year-old LeBron James, best in the NBA.
You know, every day you got to go out there and work because there's someone out there working too. And if you stop, I think they can pass you up. So every day my coaches push me. I push myself and my teammates push me. My mother brought me up real good. And it's pretty easy because the way I was brought up, she taught me so much things besides basketball. And that just helped, that helps me be level-headed.
I wish Frankie Lyman had a mom like Gloria James. How about 2001 LeBron interview? Let's listen to that.
As far as college basketball, is that something you've been asked probably 6,000 times? Let's say you're senior year 2 years from now, and you and I are sitting down talking. What do you think it's going to come down to?
You know, I don't know. I just got to, when it comes, I just got to sit down with my coach and sit down with my mom and see what's the best option. You know, should I make this move or should I make that move? But right now, I don't know too much. I'm just happy, so happy right now. You know, we just want to stay championship. And when that role comes, we'll cross.
Now let's listen. He signs out of high school, LeBron James. This is his interview where he's joining the Cleveland Cavaliers as a rookie. It sounds like he's a full-grown man, but he's still a teenager. But listen to so many of the things that he says here. It's exactly like listening to him now in his mid-30s. Let's go 1-6.
There's no pressure. There's no pressure at all. I've been getting pressure since I was 10 years old. I don't think there's no pressure for me because I'm doing something that I love to do, and that's play the game of basketball. I'm doing the same thing that y'all love to do, and that's y'all like to watch me play basketball. If I ask y'all that question, y'all going to say the same thing. I mean, is there any pressure to ask me these questions? It's no pressure because y'all know how to do what y'all do, right? Well, you know, I never say myself. I always say my team. It's not about myself. It's just about how well as a team we can grow as a family and just get better every single day. Because the other teams out there is getting better every day. And if we take one step backwards, we're going to end up like we was this year. And we don't want that to happen again. Well, I hope I can put a lot of smiles back on the people's faces in Cleveland. You know, the baseball team is going through a transition right now. And basketball team, you know, football team is really starting to kick in now. And I hope, you know, the basketball team, y'all gonna be excited about coming to the games. I'm not going to guarantee no championship. I tell you that. I'm guarantee that we get better every day. And that's the thing that you guys don't see. That comes from practice. Sometimes you have practice, but sometimes you're not. I just know that we're going to get better every day, and we're going to be a lot better team than last year. I can guarantee that. You know, they be your friend until you get on the team. I just hope that they accept me for who I am as a basketball player and especially as a person. You know, I'm not coming into the team right away trying to be a leader. But if they get that to me, I know how to be a leader. But I'm just going to accept my role until I have to do something, you know. But I'm just going to just try to get our team better every day. Physically, be ready. I just feel, I don't know. It's no different for me. I know how to play the game of basketball. I'm not saying that to be cocky. I think I know how to play the game of basketball, and I don't change my game when I'm playing against anyone. I'm just looking forward to seeing who's going to be our coach. If there's going to be Keith Smart going to stay, or we're going to get somebody in there, because as soon as we get a new coach, as soon as I'll be able to get a good relationship with him.
There's no doubt LeBron James has this great God-given talent, works as harder than anybody else. There's no doubt Frankie Lyman, with a tremendous God-given talent, worked super hard at it. But kids are not young adults in art, in sports, and in surgery. Thank God for Gloria James being behind the scenes in the life of LeBron James. That's why he got to rise and get the full use out of his gifts that God gave him. Remember that. Kids are not young adults. Coming up next, I'll take your calls. The number is 877-710-ESPN. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior Show here on 710 ESPN.
Check this out. Weekend Warrior is on the air.
From the epicenter of sports in the Southland.
ESPN LA 710. With Dr. Robert Clapper, board-certified orthopedic surgeon at Cedars-Sinai Health Associates.
What's going on, L.A.? This is Kobe Bryant.
That's right. Mahalo. Aloha.
Start your weekend off right. Listening to the Weekend Warrior Show with Dr. Clapper.
Ahui hoi.
Every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN, 710, home of your Los Angeles Lakers.
Kobe Bryant, we all miss him terribly. Can't stop thinking about him. But you heard in one of those ads about how much love we have for the first responders and the people helping taking care of us. And it's the nurses, the doctors, the people in the medical profession working. And I'm so proud of my hospital, Cedars. But you know who I'm particularly proud of? My wife. My wife is the head of the blood bank at Cedars. She's a pathologist. And at the forefront of what is happening now to fight the coronavirus is something called convalescent plasma. So many people who've had the coronavirus but did not really suffer terribly from it, and you hear about the NBA players, you know, Von Miller from the Denver Broncos, you're going to hear all about people who've had it and survive it, some people with very minimal symptoms. Well, they now have in their blood something, the antibodies, to fight it. And the idea at the forefront of how to help people who are really sick in the ICU is to see if we can give a transfusion of the plasma of someone who actually did create antibodies, who was able to fight it. And that is called convalescent plasma. But it needs a special way of filtering the blood. It's called apheresis to get that plasma. And at the forefront of that, going to the hospital every day, working 24 hours, 7 days a week, is my wife, who I'm so proud of, because these are the real heroes. And it's important for me to give a big shout out, certainly to those folks, especially her. You can call. We can talk about your injuries, because the Weekend Warrior is still out there getting hurt. And I say that because I'm seeing so many of you in my office virtually. Oh, my God. I'm a 62-year-old guy picking up all this technology now, and I have a blessed staff in my office. So people are calling in, and I literally put the template, the tablet, on the exam table. I've got the x-rays, the MRI on another computer screen, and I'm telling folks, okay, show me where your pain is. Show me what your range of motion is like. And it's amazing, but you now have me in your living room talking to you, examining you virtually. Let me tell you something. It's going to change the way medicine is done in the future. So I'm a guy where the glass is half full, not half empty. I can't stop thinking about all the positive things that will come from this pandemic. I mean, the whole world is upside down. It's terrible. But there's got to be something in it that's good. It can't all be bad. So I met three people this week who, when I asked them, how you're doing? The three of them said, I'm doing better than I've ever been. I go, really? You know, there's a pandemic going on. How is that even possible? Well, one of them is in the wholesale wine business. I said, really? He goes, yep. People locked in their houses, a lot of them have started to drink heavily. We're selling more wine now than we ever did before. I'm going, oh my God, for one man's meat is another man's poison. So wholesale wine business, good for him. Here's another one. I met a guy whose job is to put courses for college kids online. He's busier than he's ever been. He just signed a big contract with a major university here in Los Angeles for the next 2 years because they realize more and more of their classes better go online, and he's an expert at that. His business is booming. And the third person was yesterday. I'm driving back from my office doing these virtual visits, and I said, okay, I can't take it anymore. I need to splurge. And for me, that's food. I want a chili dog. And Carney's is terrific. We can go through all the different hot dogs that I love to go to in LA. But I have a personal favorite. And the owner's been a guest on this show, Howard, in the past. And the place is called Marty's. It's a stand that's been there since the 50s when Howard's parents bought the property and started this hot dog stand. And they own the land. So it's not like anybody's going to come and pull the rug out from under them. That's why they can still be there. The hot dogs come from Chicago. It's called Vienna Beef. And it is a snap, crackle, pop when you bite into this hot dog. For whatever reason, you know me, I have a craving. I got to have a chili dog right now. So I drive my car. There it is. There's a parking spot right in front. I can do my social distancing. I park the car. I get out. They recognize me. Hey, Dr. Clapper, because I talk about them on the show. And I'd like two chili dogs. No problem. Let me tell you something. It was unbelievable. But I said to them, how's business, Dr. Clapper? It's booming. So if you're in the online business to make courses, if you're a wine merchant, or you're Marty's Hot Dogs, this pandemic has been a boon to you. And it's fascinating. That's what you have to do. You may look at your career. All of us have changes, and we're going to have to get used to it. I want to be around the folks who can figure out how to take advantage of something like this, who see the beauty in it all. And that's really the folks you want to hang around with. You don't need another person in your life telling you how terrible it is. You need to hear stories from people who've actually taken this disaster and turned it upside down and made it into a benefit. I got asked by ESPN to please do a public service announcement. Could I do something where I can teach people how to use a mask properly, since you should be wearing a mask when you're outside? But a lot of people don't know the top of the mask from the bottom of the mask. There's no point in them wearing a mask because they're doing it wrong. So with Carlos Saisu and Tommy Lamb at the station, I sat down and did a PSA, a public service video. It's on Twitter, so you can go to at Dr. Robert Clapper or the radio station's Twitter account. And look for it. And you know what you're going to see? You're going to see that 3,300 people have viewed this video that I did of how to do a mask. But I figured, you know what? I'm not just going to do another boring doctor telling you what to do with a mask. So I am Dr. Clapper the Rapper. Clapper the Rapper. So I did a little bit of a rhyming of how to put a mask. And I think you'll get a kick out of it. So look for that on Twitter, either at Dr. Robert Clapper or at 710 ESPN's Twitter site. It's really been a joy to be able to put that together. All right, coming up next, I'll take more of your calls. The number is 877-710-ESPN. If you go on my website, you'll see a woman riding a bicycle the day after I did her knee replacement. How is that even possible? Coming up next, I'm going to explain what minimally invasive surgery means to me. What does that term entail, that a person who I replaced their knee can be riding a bicycle in her neighborhood the day after surgery? I'll explain what the tricks are. Coming up next here on the Weekend Warrior Show, the number is 877-710-ESPN.
Check this out.
Weekend Warrior is on the air.
From the epicenter of sports in the Southland.
ESPN LA 7710. With Dr. Robert Clapper, board-certified orthopedic surgeon at Cedars-Sinai Health Associates.
What's going on, LA? This is Kobe Bryant.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Start your weekend off right. Listening to the Weekend Warrior Show with Dr. Clapper.
I'm still quelling.
Every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN, 710, home of your Los Angeles Lakers.
Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. It never gets old for me hearing Kobe say Clapper. So, on the video, if you go on the website, my website, you will see a woman who I love dearly, a patient of mine who I did a knee replacement on, who I didn't ask her to do this. She took her GoPro, holding it in one hand. She's 70 years old and riding a bicycle with the bandage still on her knee from surgery that I did the day before, bending her knee all the way, straightening it all the way, you know, showing off and proud of her surgery. And she's back running around to this day. How can that be? How can you ride a bicycle like you didn't even have surgery the day after taking the bad cartilage out and putting a new implant in your knee? Well, you know how much I love my dad and my mom, and I talk about them on Saturdays. And one of the joys I've always had was pointing out to my father, the carpenter, how much he taught me into becoming an orthopedic surgeon. He would look at me going, I didn't teach you anything. Stop saying that I taught you all of these things. I go, no, you actually did. Because just like you listen to me every Saturday, making the connection between art, Frankie Lyman, Stevie Wonder, being at all like or not like LeBron James, that I see the connection with a pediatric fracture. Somehow, Frankie Lyman, Stevie Wonder, LeBron James makes sense to me when I'm taking care of a kid who's still growing with their growth plate. This is the way my mind thinks. And my father could not believe that I could somehow associate what a carpenter does, other than the obvious of using a hammer and nails and whatnot, as a surgeon. But here's an example I will give you, which is totally relatable to that woman riding her bike the next day, and it comes from carpentry. So you ready for this? When you use a power tool, a saw, I'm not talking a saw that you hold on with your hand and manually you cut through wood. I'm talking about a power saw. You know, that wheel with the teeth going through the plywood or the 2x4 or whatever wood you're talking about. I remember as a kid, my dad having such difficulty cutting a particular piece of wood in his shop. And I said to him, why is that a dull blade? Why is the saw having so much trouble cutting that particular piece of wood? I don't know. Must have been 10 years old in my dad's shop, smelling that beautiful burnt smell of wood. Oh, I just love it with the sawdust everywhere. I mean, when I smell that stuff, it really just takes me back. And my dad, who, you know, he never said that's a stupid question to me. He would always encourage me to seek further. And I just love being with him. I said to him, why are you using that saw blade? It seems dull trying to cut that piece of wood. And he said, Robbie, that's because I'm cutting this wood, because I have to, with the grain of this particular wood. That's called ripping it. That's ripping it as you cut. It's much easier on the saw blade when you cut across the grain. It's kind of like a nice juicy steak when you cut it across the grain versus with the grain. It kind of falls apart when you're cutting it with the grain. You cut against the grain, you can make beautiful thin slices. Well, the same thing for wood. If you go with the grain, the saw blade fights harder because the wood wants to separate with the grain. When you cut against the grain, you can actually dictate and the saw works better. So for the first 20 years of my 31-year history as an orthopedic surgeon, when I did knee surgery, for whatever reason, needed to get into your knee, not arthroscopically, but open, either to fix fractures or to do implants, I was taught you should always cut into the muscle across the grain. So if the fibers of the muscle are north-south, they go from the hip to the ankle, that's the grain. The fibers go north-south in that direction. You should cut east-west. You should take your knife and be cutting into the muscles from California to New York, not Canada to Mexico. But the reality is that is maybe the way I was taught. But 10 years ago, I learned from a surgeon, don't do that anymore, Robbie. There's a better way where you don't even have to cut the muscle. Figure out the plane, figure out the grain that the muscle is in. And just with your fingers, you can separate the muscle without cutting it and get into the joint. It's called minimally invasive. It seems like a simple thing when I describe it right now, but this was a revolutionary idea in orthopedic surgery to work with the muscle and separate it rather than cutting it. Well, guess what happens? Because you didn't cut it, there's less bleeding, there's less pain, there's less swelling. And that is why that woman is riding her bike the next day, because of minimally invasive. Forget the robot. Forget the computers. Forget Michelangelo didn't need a robot or a computer to carve the David. It's the skill of the surgeon. What you want is an artist. Whatever, whether you call your plumber, your IT person, or your surgeon, you want an artist to take care of you, not just a technician. And with that, we'll take a break. Coming up next, I'll take your calls. The clinic will be open. The number is 877-710-ESPN. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior Show here on 710 ESPN.
Weekend Warrior is on the air.
From the epicenter of sports in the Southland.
ESPN LA 710. With Dr. Robert Clapper, board-certified orthopedic surgeon at Cedars-Sinai Health Associates.
What's going on, L.A.? This is Kobe Bryant.
You're not going to leave me alone, are you?
Start your weekend off right, listening to the Weekend Warrior Show with Dr. Clapper.
The Grand Poobah, the Big Kahuna.
Every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN, 710, home of your Los Angeles Lakers.
Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. You're listening in the background to Goody Goody. That's Frankie Lyman. Just listen to the energy. This is why he inspired Stevie Wonder, Michael Jackson, Bruno Mars. It all started with this guy, Frankie Lyman. So much talent, all thrown away because of a heroin overdose at age 25. He was a kid given adult treatment, and it cost him his life. So much talent. All right, the number is 877-710-ESPN. The clinic's open. Let's go to Alan. Alan, you're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help?
Hi, doctor. Pleasure to talk to you.
Same here.
I have stenosis in the lower back and also in my neck. I've had
surgery
about a year ago.
What do you do for a living?
Can you hear me, doctor?
Yeah, I can hear you. What do you do for a living?
I'm retired law enforcement, and I still work doing security jobs, bodyguard, that type of thing. But
where did you grow up?
In the Los Angeles area.
And what did your dad do for a living?
My dad worked for a bakery as a route supervisor. He was in sales.
What time in the morning did he get up to work in a bakery?
He was up 3:30 in the morning with split days off.
Is that the reason you decided not to go into the bakery business?
pretty much. Sports was my life and what I loved, but I found a new passion and enjoyed it for almost 33 years.
And what high school did you go to?
I went to Poly out in L.A., in Sun Valley.
And what sports did you play?
Basketball and baseball.
Who was your favorite player growing up?
Oh, it had to be growing up. It was Jerry West, Oscar Robertson. That was my era.
Wow. So how old are you?
65.
Okay, cool. All right. So you have stenosis in your neck and in your lower back. Do you have numbness tingling into your fingers, into your legs? What kind of symptoms do you have?
I do have the tingling and symptoms into the foot, into the leg, and basically standing in one position. When I'm walking, it's pretty good, but if I'm standing, there's a sharp pain like a knife radiates down to the lower back and the rear.
And tell me a little bit more about where it radiates. Does it go into the little toe or into the big toe?
It actually goes into just the center of the foot. And it's actually the middle toes.
The middle toes. Okay. So because I'm almost your age, I went to medical school during a time I graduated in 83, there was no MRI scanner, if you can believe that. That's how old I am. And the man, I'll never forget this guy, who taught me neurology, he didn't have an MRI to check what the disc looked like and the nerves looked like. So these neurologists were amazing. They were like Oscar Robertson in basketball. They were like Jerry West, rather than the fundamentals of the game they were expert at. Same thing with the neurologist. And the reason I ask which toes is, if you don't have an MRI, how are you going to be a neurologist in 1980 and figure out which disc is the problem? Well, if it radiates pain to the big toe, the disc that's the troublemaker is L4, L5. If it radiates pain into the little toe, the disc that's in trouble is L5, S1. These are called dermatomes that we can actually figure out. Is your reflex good or bad? Where does the pain radiate? Can you walk on your tippy toes but not on your heels? Can you walk on your heels, not your tippy toes? These incredible tools that you're taught in neurology to help figure out where the trouble is. And it's true. In 2020, I have the greatest equipment the money can buy in America, which is these sophisticated MRI scanners. But you know what? It's even more important to understand the fundamentals and then add to that knowledge the use of the MRI. So, do you listen to this show? You know what Clapper Vision is?
Yes.
So, stenosis with this sciatica that you have in a 65-year-old, you have to understand. So, today's topic is that kids are not really young adults in art, in sports, and in surgery. Your spine is different than a 20-year-old who has a juicy disc filled with beautiful water surrounding the collagen fibers that make up the disc itself. So when a 20-year-old comes to me with the same complaints that you have, the anatomy and the damage is for a different reason than a 65-year-old who tells me they have a sharp knife-like pain that radiates into the middle toes of their foot, because you have rusty pipes. You have a different reason for the choking of the nerve. It's not the disc anymore. Your discs are all dried up, essentially. You're dealing with bone spurs, just like the rust builds up in the pipe, in an old pipe for the kitchen sink. You turn on the water and barely any water comes out. You don't have as big a hole in the bone to make room for the nerves. And that choking of the nerves, not from the disc, but from the bone spurs, from the rust in the pipes, if you will, is called stenosis. Now, I'm surrounded by doctors, and they're entitled to their opinion. You're calling me so you're going to get my opinion. I hate cortisone shots. Right away, they're going to tell you should have epidurals for this. Tell me what the long-term benefit is of putting cortisone into the rusty pipe. It's not going to melt the rust away. It takes away the inflammation that you have temporarily, but you haven't really changed the problem itself. You've given someone who's coughing Robitussin. Good, they feel better. Right. But if they're coughing because they got pneumonia, they need antibiotics to stop coughing. And depending on how bad the choking is, as much as I try to keep people away from spine surgery, which I do, sometimes you have no choice. And there's no way that's going to be my first answer to you, talking to you on the phone, on the radio right now. Hey, sounds like you got a bad stenosis. Go have surgery. No. What I need from you to help you further, do you have the MRI of your spine in front of you? Could you read me the impression or no?
Unfortunately, I do not have it in front of me, but I've taken several MRIs.
Okay, so I'll make a deal with you, Alan. For next week, you call, all right, maybe at 7:30. Have in front of you your latest MRI of your neck or your lower back, and I will translate it for you with Clapper Vision and teach you, in my opinion, what your next chest move should be. It certainly will not be putting cortisone in there, but I need to know the level of damage that you have in the stenosis, and I feel I can guide you better, and I'll give you some Clapper Vision as well. How's that sound?
That sounds terrific. I appreciate it, Doctor.
All right, and I want you to do me a favor because I'm about to help you. You're a total stranger, and I love that you listen to the show. You're going to find a total stranger today and do something nice for them. That's how you'll be thanking me.
I will do that, Doctor, and I appreciate it very much.
Okay, young man, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I look forward to talking to you next week. Okay, Warriors, coming up next, I'm going to tell some stories because my guest at 8:15, Dr. Trent Acosta, is an expert in pediatric orthopedic surgery, dealing with children and kids who are still growing, who have a fracture, who tore their ACL, the same injury that we're dealing with in adults, but they're in kids. You must respect the growing that's taking place. And that made me think all week, what about those same concerns in kids or not adults, in art, in music, in sports? And coming up next, you're going to hear what I found in those worlds of art and sports that's relatable to being careful not to treat a kid like an adult. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warriors Show here on 710 ESPN.